see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to, wow, it's loud, welcome to the Watching for Jesus program. My name is Thomas Gamble, and I'm the host of your Bible study for tonight. Tonight, I'll do a summary of what we talked about all last week on the end times, and really kind of Jesus is coming soon, and what's going to happen when he does come. And the Bible's pretty specific about it. It doesn't leave a whole lot up for interpretation as far as opinions and all that. The Bible's clear. What isn't clear is when the rapture is coming, and nobody's going to know that. Not supposed to. Nobody has. Nobody figured it out. Don't even know when tribulation's coming. You know the signs. Everybody's written books about it, and everybody's been wrong, too. When are people going to learn? When are they going to learn? Dedicate the broadcast and talk about, is ambition wrong? Ambition. And Jesus is coming soon. Humanism. Worship of self. All that comes into play. Everything is connected. When are people going to realize that? There's no accidents in this world. Except when you spill milk, maybe. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, we come together. Grant us, Lord, tonight knowledge about the times. Wisdom, discernment to see through the deception that's being put out today. We thank you, Lord, for your truth that you've given us in the King James Bible. And Lord, the wisdom, discernment to discern, to look through the what's being preached is wrong, what's being told to us wrong, but to show us the truth through your Holy Spirit. To hear the sound of the shepherd, his voice that we know who to follow. Lord, we pray for our families. We need that strength. We need that supernatural influence. We need that conviction, Lord, that when we fall away, when we guide by our own self-desires, that, Lord, you'll put us back on track. When we run out of patience, Lord, you'll give us a break of conscience to poke us, Lord, to let us know we need to work on that patience and humility. We're taught pride, Lord. We're taught winning is the only thing. We're taught that, Father, only humans can do it. Father, we know this is not true. Humans can't just do it by themselves. It's never been done and never will. Only through you can we get accomplished what we need. Only in the glory of you, in your glory. Father, we need an awakening in this country. We need an awakening in the world. Lord, the humanists, Satanists, the Luciferians, all these are which really on the same team. Father, to forgive them, Lord, that those that have the heart that they're being misled, that divine appointments, Father, will put them back on the right track. And some, Lord, we know are too far gone. That has the reprobate mind that's went too far in their lives, but only you, Father, know who that is. Divine appointments that you set up that we witness to others. Confirmations we meet each other to confirm what we've learned. And those, Father, to give us humility to be able to accept that, like when Paul chastised Peter, when we fall away, when we kind of go our own direction, that we have enough humility, Lord, that we'll come back on track and understand where we went wrong. That everything we do, we should do in the glory of God. All these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, after all these truth tellers throughout our history, John Robinson wrote it out, Proofs of Conspiracy, 1798. Gave a copy to George Washington, who died the same year, 1799, he received the copy. A courier, they didn't have internet back then, carrying the plans for the Illuminati and the horse, struck by lightning he was, knocked him clean off, killed him there in the doornail. When they found his body, they found the papers of the Illuminati's plan. They started arresting Illuminati members, yes. They went underground. We've been warned for generations and generations. Why is it then, after all this time, hadn't been thwarted, stopped, ceased? Even as Templar, they almost killed them all. They escaped to Spain, hid out, regained strength. What's the point? The point is, it's carried from generation to generation in the family ritual of the Italian Illuminati and German Illuminati that are based on Lucifer. This is not a secular human agenda. Humans don't have this kind of ability to plan this far in the future. Kings die. People die. And families raise up, and you think, will they change or lose the motivation? No, it's supernatural. But still, it's carried through to today. The same family bloodline that can go all the way back to Egypt, all the way up to the Italian Illuminati today and Queen Elizabeth II, can trace their bloodlines to Egypt, the pharaohs of Egypt, interbred with fallen angels, a different DNA. Okay. That's just them. Family, God's the creator. He's the creator. He was here before everything, and he still exists today. And he has almighty power to create, destroy, whatever he wants to. He can take it down, tear it up, and start all over again if he wants to. How can they even conceive? To outthink an entity that even created them, unless they're full of pride, lust, self-desires, no humility. Is ambition wrong? Is ambition, pride, wrong? Is it wrong to be driven, to push, to be the best? Not number two, best. The best one of whatever it is. Can be. The difference between right and wrong ambition is in our goal, our motivation, whether it's for God's glory or our own glory. How long does our glory last? As long as you're alive, sometimes to the memory. And it's your own. Come here, son. Let me tell you about the day I was in high school. Oh, Grandpa, we're going to hear that story again. How you run a 65-yard touchdown. Half the people in the stands aren't alive today, Granny, Grandfather. Well, let me still tell you about it. It's over. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, Paul tells us that Christians are to live lives to please God. We please ourselves, it's only as long as we live. Sometimes it's not even that long. It's forgotten after a week or two. For some, the drive to please them is an instant transformation at the time of salvation. Sometimes, trust me, I know this for a fact, can drive you to your knees. And for others, the transformation is, well, also can tell you, full of stutter starts and stutter steps and misstarts and redirections and boomerang. You know, whether the change happens instantly or gradually, the Christian has pursued God's goals, not selfish ones. Our goals are temporary. So in a workplace, we ask, how will that job change me? How will that job change help me serve others and glorify God? Ambition that's oriented toward God is focused outward on Him and others. Always asking how He's gifted us and wants us to use it and use us. Now, Paul suggested we work with sincerity of heart, fearing God. You find that in Colossians 3, verse 22. You know, the other day I got like 3 or 4 mouses on my desk. I got monitors all over the place. And I was moving this mouse, and I was wondering why the mouse wasn't moving the cursor on my monitor. And I was moving, I said, it's broke. No, it's my cell phone. Oh, man. I said, this technology is driving me crazy. Cell phone, don't move your mouse. So I picked up the right mouse. It wasn't Mickey either. Colossians 3:22. Says, servants, obey in all things your masters, according to flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatever you're doing, in the boardroom, on the docks, in the Super Bowl, wherever we're working, we're to serve as if doing it for God. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. You have an inheritance. A Super Bowl win is past. You're not inherited it. You work for it. Not everybody gets it. When you got it, it goes away. It ends up being a little old ring that you try to sell because you're broke 10 years later. When you sell the ring, it's over. All you have is a memory of the ring. The money you take and you spend it already. You see? That's the flesh. We glorify Him most, enjoy Him most. We work with fervor and excellence for His pleasure, not ours. His pleasure is working for the future, permanent, eternally. Not ours, for His service and the service of others, not self-service and personal gain. Because He deserves our all. Besides, we as humans don't own anything anyway. Everything here is what we got here. We're renting everything. Everything we got is written. Even your kids are rented. Everything's rented. We inherited it when we got here. We recreate it. Kind of goes like this. Lord, help me to apply zest to my work efforts that I might please You. I offer my actions and words today as testimony to bring You glory. Use me today and point others to You. Amen. So my question is, Freemasons, you go to church, you have a Bible, you do a good job for men, all this and all that. But what when they come to you, and they will, and they do frequently, want to find out about an adversary's financial situation, or to unduly do an extra number of inspections for the business that you want to try to close down, turn over personal records to people who want to try to take this person down illegally, yeah, you're under an oath to do it in the name of God, to lie, cheat, and steal. And yet you know by going to church you're not supposed to do that. So you took an oath by yea or nay, church, pretty much, to do what God tells you to do in His service. Yeah, you took an oath in God to tell a lie and cheat and steal. Boy, talk about burnout. And they will ask you to do things that is evil. That's a promise and a guarantee. So, they lost the Super Bowl. At a 1 yard out, family, you don't throw a pass. The Super Bowls are set up. The beauty pageants are set up. The reality shows is all set up. Everything, the Dance with the Stars, the all that, it's all set up. There's no excellence there. It's a setup. Always. They use the superstars, football, certain ones, to sell, advertise, influence. They have poor sportsmanship, do the stupid dances when they get in the... All that is a humanist ability to control population and reduce glory to God. Now, one of the... I may talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but real quickly, relative to what I'm talking about right now, one of the players of the losing team is just all tore up over the loss of the Super Bowl. In 2 weeks to score, he's going to take himself, and he says he's devastated. He's going to lock himself up into his room for 2 weeks. Well, here's my rendition of that. In 2 weeks, that score is not going to have changed any. The player will have spent 2 weeks in his room for what? The winner will have celebrated out after about a week or so, and they're just looking for the next year. So now what? Is a loser really a loser in a Super Bowl? Really? Think about it for a minute. Are you really a loser? What did you lose? You get paid just for playing. More people, more money than some people make in 10 years of their life. Or more. Sometimes a lifetime. You make more in a game than some people make in a lifetime. So the intrinsic value is placed on winning, while the monetary is assumed or expected or not as value as the humanistic feeling of being a winner. And when you're a winner, winner until the next Super Bowl, which you may not even make. It's all temporary. It goes away. And you slava, on the trophy. Everybody picks it up and looks at it and kisses the stupid thing. Family, we got problems. The humanistic values started since the day we were born in school, instilled in our minds, and everything we do is based on physical. So let's get to the reality. The Super Bowl that God's talking about is permanent. Seriously permanent. The entire world will hear the gospel before Christ returns. Covered that today. It all comes together. Jesus could come at any time. The entire world will hear the gospel before Jesus Christ returns, and Jesus could come at any time. Now, how can both of these statements be true? Well, you see, Jesus could come tonight. But you may hear people say that the rapture cannot occur till the whole world's heard the gospel. Therefore, we need to preach a gospel to every creature so that the last person to be saved is brought into the kingdom, at which time Jesus will return for his church. But this cannot be true. If there's anything that is yet to happen before Christ's return, there's no such thing as imminent return of Jesus Christ. Imminent is the word. The command to take the gospel to the whole world is certainly pressing upon each generation. And this generation shall not pass till all these signs have been fulfilled. And the signs, not the fig tree with Israel, 1948. Oh, generation of 70 years. Oh, that means Jesus is coming in 2018. No. Or 2017. No. You can't put the two together. The generation he's talking about, or the events I'm getting to speak about right now, that's the generation shall not pass. This generation shall not pass. He's talking about all the events at once that you see. That's the generation. But the condition of the gospel going to the whole world is a condition not of the rapture, but in the second coming of Christ. These churches are failing miserably. They will be judged harshly at the highest level. And because David Wilkerson was a great preacher, God took him. He allowed them to kill him, to take him home. His murder was allowed because it's time to bring him home. Because we're getting ready to have a storm come here. Everybody worries about leaving this world. But if you know that you're in a restaurant and you hear that somebody's going to set fire to it any time, why would you want to stay in a restaurant? I won't be leaving that restaurant. We are in a humanistic point of view today. We hang on to the physical that is temporary in a big way. So, Matthew 24:42, it leads us to. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus is coming again. How do we know that? Well, because he said so. John 14, 2 and 4. See right there, I grabbed the wrong mouse. In John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And it just slips a little thing in there on you, 14:1, John 14:1, to let you know he's God. Yeah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Now, what if one of us humans was to say that? Whoa. If you believe in God, you believe in me. What are you talking about? You see what he says right there? He says, Jesus says he's God. All through the Bible, all through the New Testament, are little verses like that to show you he is God. No human is, and no fallen angel is, and never will be. And they're all temporary till they become born again. And there's no salvation for the fallen angels because they knew what they were doing. But for humankind, he died so you could be saved. Forgive them. They know not what they do. You know not. Because you don't have, we don't have, humans don't have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural realm. Man, let me tell you something. If I knew ahead of time, nobody else did, this is terrible. Oh boy, I don't know where I think these things up. They just come out of my head sometimes. If I knew in a basketball game or a stadium, that I knew, and I was the only one that knew something supernatural was going to happen, I'd go to the store right quick and buy me a whole lot of Depends diapers. Because when something supernatural happens, there'd be a lot of people want some diapers. Let me tell you what. We as humans, when we see something supernatural, are going to freak out, man, in all kinds of ways. Some people only have to hear a creak or a snap or see a ghost or something. Man, they're already on their knees or jumping out of the window. The way the supernatural becomes natural in the future, and men's hearts will fail them for fear. Why do you think the angels that watch over you are invisible? One, you would worship that angel. And number two, you probably be on your knees more than you would anything else from fear. When the Bible speaks of the coming of the Lord, it's not speaking of death, nor is it speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of the personal, visible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time of his ascension, why you stand here gazing above? The same way he came up, he's a coming down. And it won't be in some stupid UFO. Even if you see one, that's most definitely not him. Oh, it's coming. That's Yeshua, Sananda. Extraterrestrial lie is getting ready to come. Paying off debt and everything else, it's another story. I don't want to go there right now. They're going to placate, pay off people, miracles, all kinds of stupid things going on. They'll all be faked out technologically, supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors. And a lot of humans will be amazed. And the rest of us will be yelling at him in the name of Jesus. In Acts 1:11, remember Acts 1:11? Acts 1:10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as it went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. 1:11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heaven? The same Jesus which taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. How's he going to come then? He will come in the same manner in which he ascended. Supernatural, he just won't appear. He's down here by the hall. Yay, sign autographs. Let's go down there. All right. Where's he at? Well, he's in Washington, D.C. Let's go. Okay. That's not Jesus. The disciples saw Jesus go back into heaven. Can you imagine? Those who are living when he comes again will see him then. When's he coming? What will happen when he comes? What will happen to the unbelievers and to the Christians when the Lord comes again? Now, when you ponder these questions, I'm going to try to answer some of them tonight to some degree. I can never fully answer these, goodness gracious. But I'll give you something to think about. Does any man know the exact time the Lord's coming? No. Why even write a book about it? That's silly. Four blood moons is absolute total nonsense. Can Hagee and Blitz, who are Illuminati, no doubt about that at all. They praise worship. They praise Israel more than they do God. And the hexagram, the Star of David, is nothing more than witchcraft. I'm sorry, but it is. The menorah, the candlesticks, that's the real Hebrew Jews. Symbol is the candlesticks, the seven candlesticks, the menorah. That's the real symbol. Not the star. Star of David's witchcraft, man. And our stars and stripes. I'm sorry, Americanos, but our flag, red, white, and blue, is occultic colors. The pentagram, the star of 5 points, is about witchcraft. We've been fooled. I have to tell you, I have to be honest with you. And the hexagram, the Star of David, is the crest of Solomon. It's a cult. Requires a blood sacrifice and ritual. The real Jews are there. And they're accumulating. And they can't find them. They've tried for centuries to find those Hebrew Jewish bloodlines. And exterminate them. But they can't do it because God ain't going to let them. The real Hebrew Jews. And America, you ain't it. And Jesus Christ is not blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian either. He ain't black and he ain't white. Has anybody ever thought that maybe he might be, Middle Easterner? Bronze skin, somewhat? Looking more like Indian? More like Middle Easterner? In that general part of the land? Yeah. Where's he coming? Everybody writes these books, Four Blood Moons. Can they produce four blood moons? Can they produce 3 days of stupid darkness? Yeah, they can do it. Technology, supernatural manipulation, somehow or another can shield the sun or eclipse or whatever. They can produce 3 days of darkness somehow or another. It's not in the Bible. Not there. Can they have a fake Jesus? Oh, yeah. Can they have holograms? Yeah. There you go. Dude, you won't find no 3 days of darkness in the Bible. I traced that down. I got some serious people telling me, Tom, There's going to be 3 days of darkness, and the final battle's coming. I said, well, I tell you what, you just skipped a whole lot of tribulation then. And you're calling God a liar. Thank you. I won't join you. They're setting up for Yeshua, Sananda, fallen angel, the false prophet, and the Antichrist to come. That's what they're trying to set up people for. 3 days of darkness comes from Fatima, that myth, fraud, fake Fatima. That's where that's coming from. Am I saying it won't happen? No, it probably will. But it's not in the Bible. And whoever shows up after that, they're demonic. Guaranteed. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Sorry. But he's coming for his believers to remove them from this earth. Some people say the wicked will be removed first. That don't make any sense at all. If he removes the wicked first, what happens to seven trumpets and seven bowls? We don't know exactly when the Lord's coming. We should be ready. It is coming at all times. The proper attitude of a Christian is to be always looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And if you're pining over a lost Super Bowl game, you're not looking for the Lord coming. You're sitting in your room for 2 weeks, and the score has not changed one bit when you come out. Just because you lost. Well, stop whining. Get grinding. And stop it all. Worship for yourself, but work for God. Do things in God's time. Do things for God, not yourselves. So what are the signs is coming? Now we get down to it. Kind of a summary of what we talked about this past week, last week. I said I was going to do. And by the signs the Bible gives concerning the time of his coming and how they've been fulfilled. Wars, number one. There's always been wars. He said the end times would be marked by great increase in the number of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, since World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and all these wars. All these wars. Some of them were set up even in the 19th century to take place in the 20th century. Between World War II and 1980s, there's like 45 wars. 12 of them major. After 1980 to now, good gracious alive, I can't even begin to tell you how many wars there have been. Number two is famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. The Lord said there should be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Never before in history has scientists recorded so many earthquakes as they have in the last 30, 40 years. A lot of the earthquakes, when the harp was created, designed, are created by harp. A facility they have in Alaska and 13 or 12 other locations throughout the world by Tesla technology can produce massive, massive earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, rainy seasons, and extremely cold weather. By putting a hole in the ozone layer, and drawing cold from the space down. Oh, they got all kinds of little tricks up their sleeve. Their plan is they can control the weather, space, objects. They can fight God because they know God's weapons are his natural creation. So they can control it. That's what it's all about in the first place. The technology to control the weather, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, everything. Because if they can control it, then they can fight God. That's the big picture right now. And produce transhumanism cloning and all that, a better human, because they know us humans take on an angel. So where they go get their army from? Humans? No. It's called robots and transhumanized beings. Because they know Jesus is coming again. They know he's going to bring his saints and angels in heaven. What they apparently don't know is Psalms 34:21. And evil shall slay the wicked. In other words, and you got, wait a minute before I go there. You have Christian evangelists, apologetics, or whatever they call themselves. They say, we're going to raise an army for God and fight the evil, like on TV. Are y'all learning how to do your sword thing now? I hope you are, because you're going to fight like on TV. Well, no, you're not. They think that God's going to take us all and make us all like, I don't know, crusaders or something, and we're all going to sling swords with the evil or some silly nonsense. No. Psalms 34:21, the evil shall slay each other. God will cause them to fight each other. There's no army of God that's going to go out and slay the beast and the dragon. The name of Jesus will fend them off, the evil. Israel. 600 years before the time of Christ, Israel ceased to exist as a nation. Jews were scattered to the ends of the earth, but we talked about last week, they know where the real Hebrew Jews are. They know who they are, and they don't go bragging about it neither. The real Jews, that is. The Bible prophesied that God would bring his people back to their land in the last days. And that the desert, which had laid barren for so long, would blossom as a rose. That's pretty much been fulfilled, partially, 1947. But not fully yet. It'll be fully when Jesus Christ takes Jerusalem, be the completion. Right now, it's a fake Israel. It is an Israel that has Ashkenazi, Khazars, a mixture, Judaic. They reject Jesus Christ as Savior. But you have 144,000 that's going to just come out of nowhere of the real Hebrew Jews that will praise Jesus Christ. And we evangelize those that are teetering at the abomination of desolation. They will flee to the mountains to be protected by God throughout the 7 years, 3.5 years of trumpet judgment upon the earth. Israel is the existence, a point that they can go, but yet it's to be settled when Jesus Christ returns to Mount of Olives after Armageddon. So one of the wars, two, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Oh, by the way, the pestilence is created in the laboratory. Don't go blaming God on this. God just says it's going to be. He didn't say I'm going to do it. God's judgments, you want to blame God? It'd be the first trumpet, buddy. It'd be the first trumpet. Now, that's going to be all God. And the witnesses, the two witnesses, will be declaring it. And God will be doing it. Supernaturally, no harp, won't even have one. Buildings, technology will be all gone. Because that earthquake is like a cleaning off a green board. Everything technologically will be wiped out right before the first trumpet. And then they'll know he is God. Because they'll wonder where it's coming from. And they can't control squat when he gets started. And God don't need harp. God don't need nuclear weapons. He don't need lasers. He don't need none of that silly nonsense. God's got control of this entire universe, can do what he wants to with it. And what he's going to do with it is bring judgment upon this earth. The diseases today are created in the laboratory. The vaccines cause the pandemics. The vaccines cause the, you know about the vaccines, I'm not going there right now. Ebola, they created in the laboratory. HIV, they created in the laboratory. And the Gulf War Syndrome, they created in the laboratory. And all of them are variations of the same virus. Yep. HIV was created to kill at Fort Detrick, Maryland in the late 70s. From laboratory, manipulation of DNA, viruses and so forth. Ebola, created diseases, is from Satan. Famines are created by the harp. Jerusalem, number 4. Wars, famines, Israel, 4. Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus gave an even more specific sign of the end times. Considers the city of Jerusalem. In Luke 21:24, very important. Oh, Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled. They keep forgetting, they Jews, keep forgetting that they rejected Jesus at Jacob's time. Tribes scattered. They keep forgetting they rejected Jesus when he came back in the first advent. He was crucified. Delaying the 70th week of Daniel. So time fell upon the Gentiles. That's why the New Testament was written in Greek. Iesus, I-E-S-U-S. And the I, because it's written in Greek, I, Jesus, Iesus, is no longer Yeshua. Because it wasn't written in Hebrew. Written in Greek. Gentiles, Greek, Gentiles. Jews lost it. They're a tad bit scattered about that time. So then it was put under hiding in the Alps, the manuscripts. And the I, Iesus, then became Jesus. J, not Yeshua. English is a universal language. That's the simple explanation of why his Jesus is not Iesus or Yeshua. And Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards tetragrammatron anyway. His name is Jehovah. I am that I am. Elohe Alehelehe is Hebrew for it. Thank you very much. I did a little study here and there. Luke 21:24. Now, quite extensively, the Lord talked about the subject destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And that's where the preterists and the Calvinists try to say that all the scriptures were fulfilled then. That event will be signaled by the cities being surrounded by the Roman armies. Jesus warned them 70 years before. Any attempt to reenter the city would be fatal. Because, as historians said, the Christian of an early day, the year AD 70, had a specific sign to introduce a destruction of Jerusalem and the razing of the beautiful marble temple. Had the gold inlaid. That's why they took the stones down. Because the gold was inlaid into the marble. Had to break it up and melt it down, you see. Jesus knew. When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. There was to be a positive sign of the destruction of Jerusalem. At that sign, they were to flee. Unbelief might have argued that with a besieging army outside the walls, escape would be impossible. But God's word never fails. The Roman general withdrew his armies for a short season, thus giving the believing Jews the opportunity to escape. This they did, and went out to a place called Pella, where they were preserved. Famine's going to happen again. They want to say that that was the time of desolation, but it's not. He did it once, he'll do it again. Any attempt to enter the city at that time would be fatal after that. So the city was about to be punished for its rejection of the Son of God. Pregnant women, nursing mothers would be a distinct disadvantage. They'd be hindered in escaping the judgment of God on the land of Israel and the Jewish people. It's a replay of what's going to happen here in the future. Many would be slain. The survivors would be carried off as captives in other lands. Now, the latter part of that verse, 24, is a remarkable prophecy of the ancient city of Jerusalem, which would be subjected to Gentile rule. From that time until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. You see, it doesn't mean that the Jews might not control it for brief periods during that period of time. The thought is that it would be continually subjected to Gentile invasion after invasion until the times of Gentiles are fulfilled. And that will be when Jesus Christ takes over after Armageddon. The New Testament distinguishes between the riches of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles. So, the riches of the Gentiles you'll find in Romans 12. And that refers to the place of privilege which the Gentiles enjoy now, to present time, while Israel is temporarily set aside by God. The fullness of the Gentiles you'll find in Romans 11:25. That's the time of the rapture when Christ's gentle bride, the Gentile bride, will be completed, taken from the earth, when God will resume his dealings with Israel. It's all in God's time. That's fulfillment of the Gentile period. It's rapture. The times of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24, then, really begins with the Babylonian captivity in 521 B.C. Whoa. That takes it to 1781, around 1789, when we became in captivity in America after the Revolutionary War. 1,260 days. The extent of the time of Gentiles, nations will no longer exert control over the city of Jerusalem. So then down through the centuries, from the time of the Savior's words, Jerusalem is being controlled by Gentiles, the powers of the Gentiles, and Emperor Julian the Apostate was around A.D. 331 and 363. That was after Constantine took over, and then he went to Constantinople. See, Emperor Julian the Apostate, he tried to discredit Christianity. He tried to do it by disproving the prophecy of the Lord. So, he encouraged the Jews to rebuild the temple. They went to work on it, even using silver shovels and their extravagance. carrying the dirt in purple veils. While they were working, they were interrupted by an earthquake and by balls of fire coming down from the ground. Coming from the ground, they had to abandon the project. Did y'all know that? History. The second advent is a 21:25-28, and those verses describe the convulsions of nature, cataclysms on the earth, and that will precede Christ's second advent. And there'll be disturbances involving the sun, the moon, the stars. They'll be visible on earth. See, they have to fake that too to bring in the Sananda guy. Heavenly bodies will be moved out of their orbits. That might be the cause of the earth to be tilted off its axis. Great tidal waves will then sweep over the land areas. Panic will seize mankind because of heavenly bodies near collision course with the earth. But there is hope for the godly. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. What happened with Peter? Does that remind you of Peter? Remember Peter? Who couldn't swim a lick? The boat left Jesus on the shore. A storm was ensued. Peter looked out over the water and saw a ghostly figure coming out to him. He's like, whoa. He realized that was Jesus. You know the story there. And Jesus stepped out of the boat into the water when Jesus had beckoned for him to come. And Peter was walking on the water. For that moment, he had no fear until he saw the waves, the wind, the fear entering him. Chased back his DNA and he started to sink. He reached out and said, Lord, Lord. What did he do? He looked up and lifted up his head because he knew his redemption. He knew he was going down. Panic seized him because of the heavenly bodies, because of the fear. He called out to God then. Sometimes what it takes, I guess, is that fear. Jerusalem had been controlled by the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, for about 1,900 years. But in 1967, the Israelis captured the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is controlled by the Jews. In reality, it's controlled by the Vatican. Because Israel today is a colony of England. Just as the United States is. Oh, yeah. Canada and Australia. It's another sign the coming Lord is near. It's not fully in the hands of God. Times of Gentiles not happened yet. Then there's the ten kingdoms. The Bible says that in the last days that there will be a confederation of ten nations out of what was the old Roman Empire. The European common market appears to be this confederation. Now, we've talked about that before, have we not? Answer is, we have. Who are they exactly? The old Roman Empire, you saw in the photos in Paris when hand in hand, arm in arm. I'm not going to dwell on it. I have before. They were Germany, Switzerland, France, Italy, England, Portuguese, Portugal, and Spanish, Spain. That's the seven. At one time, they were barbarian tribes. Came together as the Roman Empire. 10, to be exact, fell back to 7. 3 went extinct. The 10 kingdoms. Today is the European common market. 7 major ones will stand out. So the signs, number 1, are the wars increased exponentially. Number 2 are the famines, the pestilence, and earthquakes, all produced by Satan, the technology, by design. And everybody blames God for it. Pat Robinson, he's a 33rd degree Mason. God brought this on them, blah, 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 blah. Blaming God for everything. Don't you be blaming God. You want to blame God? The first trumpet. Now you can blame God, but you won't have time because they'll be busy. Real busy. Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Number 3, Israel. Number 4, Jerusalem. Number 5, the 10 kingdoms. European common market. 10 ruthless leaders. Prophesied in, you'll find it prophesied in Daniel and Revelation. Revelation 17, verses 12 to 14. And Daniel 7, verses 23 to 24. And there are 10 men from the 13 Illuminati bloodlines. The Italian. True. Possessed. Avatars. What do you want to call them? They're still going to hell. They'll never make it. But only for a short time. Number 6 are the peace efforts. Another sign of the last days is a great increase in peace conferences. Peace efforts have failed and will continue to fail until Jesus comes. They will not have any until the confirmation between Israel and the Antichrist, Daniel 9:27. That will be the first seal. See, Jesus comes, he's the Prince of Peace, the real one. There will be no peace on this world until he is reigning. The Bible says, the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. Isaiah 33, verse 7. Peace efforts, number 6. Number 7, travel and knowledge. Daniel 12, verse 4. The Bible says, at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That knowledge increasing began around the 16th century. About the same time, the 16th, 17th century, that King James Bible started coming of age. Well, not a coincidence. Knowledge increased exponentially. In Daniel 12:4. You see, Daniel was instructed at that time to preserve the prophecies in the book. And you go to verse 4, it's commonly taken to speak of advances in transportation, scientific knowledge. But it probably doesn't mean that entirely. See, Darby there, old Darby, he said, many shall diligently investigate. Tragilius renders it, many shall scrutinize the book from end to end. It teaches that many will study the prophetic word and knowledge of it shall increase in the great tribulation. In other words, you can't predict it, but you'll know it when it happens. Travel and knowledge. And then number 8, a great wickedness. Do we see that today? Oh, yeah, we do. We sure do. The world is not getting better. Instead, it's getting much worse. Mother killing daughters, fathers killing daughters and sons, throwing them off bridges and all kinds of things. It's fulfillment of the words of the Lord Jesus. As we pull further away from God, as cultures change the laws to get away from the Bible, endorse the attitudes of Sodom and Gomorrah, the veil between the second heaven and the first heaven gets thinner, thereby letting the demons come in. And then by the drugs, by the hate, the negative energy, whatever you want to call it, causes people to be possessed. That's the quick explanation for it. And then you get those words in Luke 17:26. In Luke 17:26, people keep forgetting that. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. You will see him on this earth. So what was it like in the days of Noah? It's a time of great wickedness on the earth. Sodom and Gomorrah intensified, personified in the days of Noah. The Bible says God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. Family has not changed a lick. We've talked about that dozens and dozens of times, about the Illuminati controlling the world for the time being. Remember, it's temporary, though. One, wars. Two, famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Three, Israel. Four, Jerusalem. Five, the 10 kingdoms. Number 6, peace efforts. 7, travel and knowledge. 8, the great wickedness. Number 9, 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, speak expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, the current interest in horoscopes, fortune telling, witchcraft, seances, Ouija board, spiritualism, yoga, it's all another sign that we're living in the last days. Yoga especially. You know that each position that you learn in yoga, from the alchemy point of view, the alchemy principles, every body expression and position of the body is a position that worships a demon. I know that sounds crazy. Please look it up first, though, before you count me off as nuts. Look it up. Look at the detail of yoga. The different position readjusts your what they call chakras or whatever. It's physics. It's chemistry. It's biology. And those positions affects your body chakras or something and gives a green light for a certain demon that's attributed to that frequency that your body's been put into by you. That's what that means. That's why you feel different. Same thing about drugs. Marijuana, one particular type of demon, is a frequency equal to it. LSD, cocaine, all that. Each one is a different frequency because it's different material or chemical, whatever. Thereby allowing a certain demon to come in because you've done it by voluntary action. Allows that demon to come in on that frequency level. It's physics. That's what it is. Probably went too far on that because it gets a little difficult to explain just in a little while. That's how it really works. And the demons give the person a feeling of being placated. You know that if a demon came inside and made an ugly experience, it's like drinking apple cider vinegar. You hate drinking apple cider vinegar. It's acquired taste. Well, the same thing, sort of. They don't come in as apple cider vinegar. They come in as honey, so to speak. So you have that ethereal feeling when you're doing yoga. Now listen, this is very important. You will find them, even in The Last Samurai and the movie The Seventh Son, The Seventh, whatever, I don't know, in the trailer. And then you hear people, there's all kinds of things going on. You're like, hey man, you're sitting on a vibe. What are you doing? Making all these noises. Family, those noises are frequency. Vibration. In the Amazon, you got these things called piranha. Those are meat-eating fish, man. They'll strip down a cow in no time at all. Well, when they want to feed their little schools of them, they got to beat the drum, boom, 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 with some kind of signal. Same thing about sharks. They can hear signal or smell blood miles away. It's like a beacon. Well, that's noise you're making, whatever they do, is for demons. It's a frequency calling to them. Here, cow, cow, cow. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. It's like, here, demon, demon, demon. And different sounds bring different demons. That's how it works. I've heard radio programs, especially on and it was LBN when I was there. This guy, I forgot his name right now, but he'd say, okay, we're going to do this, do that. He'd say, well, okay, here we go. We're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. And he'd go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. I'm like, what? Dickens? I looked it up. It's called hypnosis on a surface level when they do that countdown. That is tricky, tricky, tricky on radio programs. Not good. Family, I don't even read fortune cookies. Horoscopes, I don't even touch it anymore. None of that. I stay away from it. That's, you do what you want. Me, I just don't do it anymore. I quit that a long time ago when I realized this. I said, I ain't getting involved in none of it. And you know that those fortunes can be made to come true. You know why? Because you read them. You've given permission. The demon knows. So they can manipulate at a certain opportune time to make that fortune come true to a certain extent. And this is done. You're like, wow, it came true. Yeah, because the demon says it. Okay, I'll accentuate it. I'll make it happen in a certain way. It'll never be exactly the same way. But they can make it almost come true by influencing. Depends on the opportunity. That's how it works, because you've given permission for it to act. Number 10, apostasy. Who? And see, the Bible tells us that the last days, just before Jesus comes, be marked by great apostasy. And you know, a lot of seminars and Bible schools and so forth, the word apostasy means a falling away from the truth. we're right falling back into humanism. It just seems to always work out. It's working out. I mean, like this training tonight links up with humanism I do in a day. It all comes together. Teachers and professors no longer believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. They'll come up with this lukewarm, boy, it really torques my jaw. Oh, I just love the King James Bible. I love it to death. It's my favorite one. It's not perfect, but I still like it better than all of them. You see what they do? That's got its problems. You see how they do it? But it's my favorite Bible. I really like the way it's poetic, it's this, it's that. When I hear that, I say, oh, here it comes. And here's my action. Y'all do what you want to do, but here's what I do. When they come up with that nonsense, that scripted out, it's my favorite Bible, I love the King James, it's poetic. And it's got its problems, but you know what? I stop them right there. Whoa, stop right there. Back up, Charlie, back up. Okay, what problems exactly? Don't go no further. Nope. Exactly what problems? You name the problems, what are they exactly? Well, there's some contradictory verses. I said, oh, stop right there. Which ones exactly? Tell me the book, tell me the chapter, tell me the verse. I'm going to see it myself. Now, before you go on. I'm not moving forward until you show me exactly what chapter, what verse. I'm waiting. Call them to it, family. Call them to it. Make them produce it. Otherwise, they're feeding you more baloney than Oscar Mayer. Stop them right there and make them name it. And every single time they'll name it, if they do, you can untwist it. Every time. The experienced ones won't tell you because I know you can. Inexperienced ones that haven't studied will tell you you got them every time. The teachers and professors no longer believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. They make light of the miracles. They deny the virgin birth of Christ. Deny that Jesus Christ is God. Destroy the faith of those they teach. Catholic Church is really good for that. Even the Protestant, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all of them. They promote the NIV Bible, which is missing over 239 verses. Do not stay under these teachers. Start your own. Or do it by yourself. Then find others like you that want to learn the truth. I'm finding now, too, you have King James Bibles that are counterfeited. If I go to, for example, it's 9:18 already. Part 2 tomorrow. That worked out really well, actually, because I got to the 10, and then tomorrow, part 2, we'll move on about the great apostasy. Oh, yeah. And the signs, what will happen when Jesus comes? The great tribulation. Oh, we're going to have fun tomorrow night. The Antichrist. We can focus on him. Y'all. And will you be ready? And what happens to unbelievers and believers? Oh, we're going to have a party Tuesday and Friday, Tuesday and Wednesday. But 1 Timothy 4:7, for example. And we'll close right here. Now, those of you who keep track of what I say, all of you that do, don't let me forget this, okay? I got in 1 Timothy, where are you, Timothy? Oh, there you are. Watch this. 1 Timothy, you can't watch, can you? Okay. 4:1. Well, there you go. Interesting. 1 Timothy 4:1 in my newer Bible, King James, the S is capitalized. That's correct. In Esword, it's capitalized. When I go to Genesis 1:1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's a small s. Now, my older Bible, King James Bible, I think I use a doggone magnifying glass to read the writing on it. 1 Timothy 4:1. This thing ain't going to last much longer. This thing is beat up. 1 Timothy 4:1. It's a capital S. It should be. And Genesis 1:2. Is also a capital S. Now that small S and big S is very important. So some of the counterfeit Bibles, and King James even, has a small S when it should be capital S. Because a small S is spirit. Your spirit, a demon spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit. A capital S is always the Holy Spirit. So what I would do, if you've got a King James Cambridge, that's a newer after 2000, 1997 year 2000, and you go over the checklist of, and there's checklists in the internet. You find checklists of how to find a counterfeit. You just make pen changes. That's all this. Now the you can get all caught up in that and say, well, all it's counterfeit. No, all it is the presentation is exactly the same and perfect. But the capital and small is the only difference. But there's no difference in the presentation. In the other Bibles, the presentations are all wrong. And verses are removed. That's a whole different ballgame. You got it? If I don't make it clear, send me an email. So, we'll talk tomorrow, part two, about the apostasy of the church. When you start finding a church that's apostatic, doing an apostasy, your mega churches, Hillsong, and all these kinds of churches, New Age, mega, don't stay under these teaching conditions. Those to deny great truths. The Bible says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that caused the error from the words of knowledge. They use the NIV Bible. I warn them once. If they start to argue it, I'm gone. I won't be back. Proverbs 19:27. Now, we're going to start tomorrow, part two. There's a great apostasy in many churches. What do the signs tell us? What will happen when Jesus comes? We'll talk about that tomorrow night. Wow, time went by tonight. Humanism, I want to cover this week. Attack on the military, I hope to cover by toward the end of the week. We'll see how far we get. Other subjects I want to cover. About judging, I know I want to do Bible study on that. Judging and correcting. There's a difference in that. I've been holding off on that one, but I want to do that one. Because everybody keeps saying, oh, you're not supposed to judge. Yeah, but 1 Timothy, we're taught to rebuke, correct, for those not preaching the truth. That you do do. Remind you all that my radio broadcast and Bible studies are carried by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, up at highpointradio.net. And he's got sponsors up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he's doing a really good job. Things are going good up there. And on a random basis, he plays my broadcast and Bible studies. Look, go up to his website, highpointradio.net, and maybe you find out what sponsors he has and use them. And maybe some donations to John. Because it costs money for his network. See, I don't have to do that because mine is very minimal, actually, anymore. If I was working on a network, well, I'd have to, too, because it's very expensive. But God's got to where I got a system that's very inexpensive. So I don't really need to. God takes care of me. Gives me what I need. That's all I need. And I do this for free. So I have no strings attached. Zero strings. Except I just want to teach the truth. That's it. I have a website, watchmenforjesus.com, and Facebook, which I got to work on tonight, Watchmen for Jesus. That's where you get in touch with me the best. And I'm going to contact Host Gator, they say, and see if they can help me design redesign my website a little bit better than like it was last time. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, y'all have a good night. I'm going to dedicate, close out, and see y'all tomorrow at 4 to 6. Lord, thank you tonight for this broadcast, and thank you for this Bible study. Lord, we pray that, Father, you got us. Keep us humble, Lord, in whatever way it takes. Guide us on the right path. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for protection of those listening. Those working in your service, Lord. Father, we pray that you'll open up the eyes with wisdom and discernment to see the end times events as they approach. And give us those opportunities to witness to others in the street. And for those in the broadcast and the Bible studies, Lord, you carry the message out. Lord, we pray for awakening these churches. We need help, Lord. We pray for exposure of the lies. We pray for the Freemasons that they'll renounce these blood oaths. Father, we pray for an awakening throughout this land. And all these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, I thank you all for coming by in this Bible study. And so we'll see you all tomorrow, 4 to 6. We'll hit the ground running. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to give you all specifics to look out for the schools when you talk to your children or teach others, whatever, of what to look for that they're teaching you. See, you can make a difference. They got your kids 5 days a week. Well, you got your kids 5 days a week, too. And don't take long for them to tell you what to summarize what they learned today. 30 minutes. You learn what? Well, let me tell you about that, son, daughter, whatever. What they're teaching there in school is not right. It's going to get through it. Now, that student is going to tell everybody else, too. You see, if you got other parents involved, you can just make a difference. You can make a difference. And straighten out the humanistic teaching that your kid's getting on a daily basis. You don't have to have homeschooling. Homeschooling is when your kid comes home, you say, how'd school go today? That's homeschooling. Untangle the nonsense they've been feeding them in school today. Straighten it right on out. I'll tell you about exactly what to look for tomorrow. And I got a lot of stuff, so maybe tomorrow and the next day, I don't know. Bring your pen and paper and write down and try it out and see what's going on. Some of y'all may be contacting other parents. Did you know what they're teaching your kid, my kid, today? Yeah, I found out. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, get Mary and the others come by. When we just meeting, and you got four or five of you, and you go to a parent-teacher meeting, or call a meeting, man, you can make a difference. Don't do it by yourself, though. These cowards will call CPS, Child Protective Service, say, oh, we got trouble with whoever. So use your minds, use your thinking, do your praying. There's safety in numbers. Not just alone. Because you're not alone. Y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 to 6. Hit the ground running.
From him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
I am with you every day to the end of time.